I, like you, have been so grieved and troubled by the events of this past week. Since we last gathered for worship, much has happened. Some people would say that it is always that way, it's just we don't always hear about it, or it is not always so close to home. It started off, I think it was early Monday morning, that 24-year-old man walking along the streets, I think it was Grand Allée in Gatineau, succumbed to his injuries after having been struck by a driver who fell ill at the wheel, crossed the median, and struck him. It wasn't long after till we heard with shock about a block party in Scarborough turn violent, where two people, Cheyenne Charles and Joshua Yassi, respectively 14 and 23 years of age, were gunned down in a reckless discharge of firearms, 22 people wounded. Not long after that, another man was killed in a schoolyard of a school, good thing school is out, shot brazenly in Toronto. Not long after that, in the week we heard of the suicide bomber in Bulgaria that killed Israeli and other tourists in a wanton disregard of life. Not long after that, we heard of the increased civil war in Damascus, in Syria, and the massacre of innocent people again, women and children. And then the latest. Thursday night at the midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises, the latest Batman installment in Aurora, Colorado. 22 people killed, countless injured by a gunman in the movie theater. The parents of Cheyenne Charles and Joshua Yessi, the families of those killed in the suicide bomber, the Colorado movie theater, families of Rebecca, age 32, Alex Tevez, age 24, Veronica, 6 years old, she just learned to swim, Alex Sullivan, his 27th birthday and first wedding anniversary, Jessica Gawi, she was just 24 years, she had survived the Eaton Center shooting and was now in Colorado, and was killed, an aspiring sports journalist. Matt McQuinn, age 27. He, like three others that it is documented, threw himself in front of a loved one to give his life in their place. The families of all of these people would be in their right to join with the community of Jacob and Israel that the prophet Isaiah speaks of, to ask, or to say and declare, my way is hidden from the Lord. Some variation of that is, God, you don't know what's going on. Somehow you are absent. You have gone AWOL from my life, maybe from this world. What is going on? It may not have been so dramatic, but in each of our lives, there have been times, maybe the season of that utterance is now, is right now. My way is hidden from the Lord. Everybody else seems to be experiencing God's favor. Things seem to be going well for everyone else, but me, my way is hidden from the Lord. Somehow God has a blind spot for me, has a blind spot for this place. My way is hidden from the Lord. The book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, is speaking about the woe and the disregard and disobedience of the people against the way and the covenant of God. What has come upon them by judgment of their own making. 160 years later, here we have the prophet. The prophet speaking into the world of dismay and disarray of the people in exile. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Here is good news. Good news is coming. And a whole litany of what God is doing. Lifting up the weak and strengthening the powerless. Causing awe to befall even the prince and the princes who look up and regard the creation with great beauty. This God is doing these things. And yet, nestled in the midst of all of this glowing praise of God, all of this affirmation of the strengthening that God is bestowing upon the people, in the midst of that comes this little verse, "My way is hidden from the Lord." It is as if the people, both as individuals and the community, is saying, "Yeah, but." All of that, yes, but. Somehow you don't get me, God. You don't get the dire nature of my circumstances, of our circumstances. We would be forgiven if we would join in the chorus of such a lament. My way is hidden from the Lord. And yet Isaiah counsels the people, tutors them in the ways of God. He's trying to remind them that our lives are not going to be made better by our own generation. By making our face like flint and girding up our loins and stiff upper lipping it and striving forward, it's not going to be at our manufacturing. The prophet is reminding the people then and reminding us and even the families of these victims that God has not abandoned them. God's heart is the first to break. But the resources of God's strength. And even in the midst of those circumstances, we find evidence of those who have appropriated that love and regard, even at the peril of their own lives. What brings someone to want to throw themselves in front of a hail of bullets to save strangers or family or friends? What gives impetus to the dedication of law enforcement and first responders who head into danger when everybody else is fleeing? The virtues of love and self-sacrifice are evident and sometimes more sharply come into focus in the midst of tragedy. The prophet is inviting people to recognize that therein, even in the pain and the hardship, is the evidence of the accompaniment of God. I do not believe that God manipulates every single detail of life. God gives us agency, the capacity to choose for the way of God or choose against that. And it is through that choosing that sometimes there are collateral damage. There is collateral damage and there's great pain. But I affirm to you and I steadfastly proclaim that the God in whom I believe and the God I believe who is revealed to us is a God who is in the midst of every joy, of every baptism and birth and every death and tragedy. Right in the midst of it. We have seen in the life of Jesus an unwillingness to avoid any precinct or area of life that we experience. The good celebrations, making wine at a wedding, or the raising of a child, of a woman whose only livelihood was in this young man. This is a God who gets involved, who gets his hands dirty in the muck of it all and in the joy of it all. Isaiah is trying to say, if you want to recognize that you indeed are not forgotten by God, it is at the very times that we feel most disconnected that God is profoundly present. It's a very interesting quote by Oscar Romero. Our lack of awareness of God in our lives or God present is indeed lousy evidence that God is in fact not present. Oscar Romero in the 1980s on Good Friday, he was speaking to people who were being dispossessed not only of their rights, but also of their lives and their territories. Paramilitary were invading their homes and people were disappearing and they were being killed, and he as an archbishop stood firm and spoke out for justice and spoke out on their behalf, and he was killed doing that. But he did say this in 1980: God is not failing us when we don't feel his presence. Let's not say God doesn't do what I pray for so much and therefore I don't pray anymore. God exists, and he exists even more the farther you feel from him. God is closer to you when you think he is farther away and doesn't hear you. When you feel the anguished desire for God to come near because you don't feel Him present, then God is very close to your anguish. For Romero, the greatest merit is when we are faithful despite feeling the Lord's absence. In the midst of being disturbed and decentered, there is God. This is what Isaiah is saying to the people. And the words that he uses are very instructive for them then and for us even now, and how we are meant to do so in community. For this is the same God who is said to be absolutely unsearchable. This is a God who will not faint or grow tired. But notice what it says, that the reason why this God does not grow tired or weary, the text says, and his understanding no one can fathom, or his ways are unsearchable. There's actually a deeper significance of that word in Hebrew, shkir. It is not that they're unfathomable so much or unsearchable, but they are without boundary. In other words, it is saying that God's ways and God's resources have no limit. God's understanding has no end. And therefore, it is we who fail to understand the purposes and the ways in which things are conspiring to happen. And we feel because we don't understand, then there must not be God's involvement. God's understanding has no end. Therefore, God will not grow weary. God will not grow tired, being consistently and incessantly on the job, causing wisdom to emerge in us, strength, and the resources for faith, the resources for help and supporting one another. There's something else that it is revealed to us. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And the answer is not youth in per se. You know, sometimes we say we wish we had more young people around. Right now, right at what is before us this week, what's going to be happening in London in a few days? Right? Olympics. There's going to be a display of elite athletes who have tuned their body, running and jumping and swimming and all kinds of things. But Isaiah is saying even the most elite of the athletes are going to grow tired. But God will not tire. God will not tire being in our corner. But what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Because Isaiah counsels the people, responding to the question, my way is hidden from God. No, God is resourcing you with His presence and with each other. They that wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait? Not twiddle your thumbs. What helps us to understand that is, again, the root of the word. The root of the Hebrew word has two forms, two meanings. It is not so much that they who wait of the Lord will renew their strength. That's a traditional way, and it's close approximation. But it is even deeper than that, because the root word there about waiting has to do with the process of binding up a cord. Binding and twisting a cord together for strength. It also speaks of a reservoir where water is collected in its feminine form. So they who allow God to bind up together their resources and collect all that will refresh them, those who do that. And how do we do that? We do it through prayer, through worship, through being attentive to the ways of God, allowing ourselves to be knit together in strength and the collection of the resources. They who do that are going to renew their strength. They're waiting on God to render them ready. Ready to do that which will enable the care for each other. So renew in this case, the word is more than that. The word is not only renew, but it is transfer. Yachlefu in Hebrew is to transfer. They that allow themselves to be bound up and the strength given to collect the resources of faith and of fortitude, they who do that are going to be able to transfer that strength to others. It is intended to build up the community, not only for solitary purpose. Those who allow God to do the transformative work in their lives and to resource them with all that makes them strong, they're going to have the capacity, the inclination, the desire to transfer that to others who are broken down, who are wounded, who are dispirited. And in so doing, we are building up the community and building our society. So it is not so much my way is hidden from the Lord. There are, as the prophet is saying, resources of strength. Absolute gifting of purpose and a desire to share with others. A desire to help the entire community. And what will happen? What will happen? There's going to be soaring. There are going to be times when you will beat the best Olympic high jumper. You will soar on wings like eagles. There are times in our lives when we need to soar to give us the perspective and the utter trust, because you know how an eagle flies. It is not only the strength of the eagle. What does the eagle's strength conspire with in order to fly? The air. The principles of aerodynamics. There's a collusion of capacities that enable that perspective to come. Those who allow God to bind up their strength, that allow the resources to be collected in their favor so that they can transfer it to others, are going to soar at times. But at other times, they're going to run. Other times, they will move quickly towards a purpose. But in the end, what is gifted and given to us, I believe, is this for the long haul. Not only will they soar and mount up with wings like eagles, not only will they run and not grow weary, but they will what? Walk. You see, I think there's a real important key here. We can't be running all the time. Agreed? We can't run all the time. We can't soar all the time. Those are episodic times in our lives. But when we hear the prophet saying on behalf of God that we will walk, there's a steady movement as we move together, and we will not tire from moving in the direction of God's purposes. We will not tire from recognizing the grace that comes to us and the strength, the call to spend our lives for others and to turn our gaze to God. We will not grow tired walking steadfastly. You know, we have Monte's parents are here from South Africa. There's a wonderful African proverb that says that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together with others. The prophet is saying to the people, let us go far in the way of God. And the resources for endurance, for longevity, is the power to walk and not grow weary. Because we're doing that together, with God and with others. The steadfastness. My way is hidden from the Lord. No way. Not a chance. There's nothing about you, nothing about the purposes that God desires for your well-being and the well-being of this community, nothing at all that is outside the capacity of God to strengthen. And God works through others and circumstances. People come into your lives, I believe, brought there by God to share and transfer the strength and the grace and the encouragement. Do you believe me? Let the Spirit of God marinate these words in your heart and in your soul. For at the times when you feel abandoned, when you think God has taken a vacation from the world, remind yourself, let us remind ourselves that as we allow God to strengthen us, to give strength to the weak, power to the fainting, we will have what is necessary to transfer our support to one another, drawing from God, sometimes soaring, occasionally running, but enduringly walking together by the strength of God. Don't you need that? I need it. Let's go together. Amen.